got this really lovely text from my dad yesterday saying, your deeper self gives you resilience and creativity. And it just really touched me so much, and I wanted to share it with you because I've got this theory, or maybe it's not just my theory, there is this whole thing in yoga about that we're all one, right? So it's not just my theory, as it turns out. it's just that I've just personally noticed how often, and mate, have you ever experienced this as well, that you can be talking with your friend and you go, I just totally get that. You can have a feeling of I'll give you an example of what it's like, but not even to do with people. That, and this is actually what samadhi relates to, right? So that, you know how you can, you know how lovely the weather was yesterday? Did anyone go and sit in the sun? And you know how that first of all, you can go, oh, it's nice and warm outside, and you can go towards the sun, and then maybe you sit for a little while, and then after a while, you kind of feel like the sun is in you. You have that feeling like it's like an experience of emerging in a way, and it's not I'm not just making this up. I mean, literally, we do have the sun in us, as it turns out, you know. But our small self generally thinks of that as separate to us, right? And so this part is my theory, okay, is that when we're really, first of all, we can have a conversation with someone and we can feel like I'm here and you're there, right? We can kind of have that first of all feeling. But then when we're actually together, right? And I just love that word because I was thinking how it's like to get her, right? And that when we really are in the getting, you know, when we're really together, have you ever had that feeling? Where first of all, you can be kind of like, everyone's had it, right? I can see by your eyes. It's going to make me cry. Because it is so special, isn't it? Where we can have this almost like a feeling like we kind of, we can lose sense of time. Right, we can and literally we have a feeling of folding space, because in the actual holding space we can experience our oneness together, right? And you don't have to say it, you don't even have to speak, and that's what your deeper self is. And your deeper self is in togetherness, which is connection, right? And so, and that is actually constantly the case. In fact, it's just that often we don't remember it in a way. Often we're not in our deepest self, we're not in awareness actually. We're kind of like fragmenting, and that when we're fragmenting, we believe all kinds of shit, actually. You know, we can tell ourselves things that are just absolutely not true. And when we're telling them to ourselves, we get a whole big movie theater going on. We have, you know how we've talked about that. You can watch a movie and you can cry. And you can watch a movie and you can have your heart racing. You can be watching a screen and then it all stops and you realize it was an illusion. You had all these emotions. And that's sometimes what's happening in our in our minds, where we're telling ourselves things that maybe are a delusion, you know, on the one hand, I kind of want to talk about how it's really helpful for us to just to even notice that capacity, to notice how we can do that, and what I personally do when I notice that is I go, shh. Look, I just kind of say to myself, oh, there you go again. But I know it's not just me going again. It's like all of humanity goes again like that. So that sort of helps me in a way, because I know that it isn't just me. You do it too sometimes. And maybe it might help you to know that we all do it too sometimes. Do you know? we can all sometimes feel like I'm just going to come up with some broad ones. You know, we can all sometimes feel like, what if people don't like us? Who doesn't want to be loved, right? You know, who doesn't, anyone, right? We all have this natural desire, this need for love. You know, I was actually just talking about just before the class this idea that, you know, I think it's because we're all women in this class right now. I think, and this is not just only for women. It's just that I think we experience it a lot. Maybe because we have the capacity to actually bear life, whether we actually are a mother or not, we have this biological capacity to do that. And, you know, that's why we say things like give birth, like we are the bearer in a way. And that, because we were talking about how sometimes some people have experienced this when they say wanted to go on a retreat, and they've been really challenged. I mean, sometimes you probably actually don't have to go on a retreat. Sometimes just coming to class can be like that, don't you reckon? That you can sometimes feel like that everyone's like pulling at you. Did anyone have that experience? And that we can have that kind of thing. And I may have said it to some of you guys before. This idea of where, because we're the ones that can bear, we are, and it's a wonderful attribute. It's thank God for that. I'd say, whether you believe in God or not, I still say it, right? Like, thank heavens for it, thank goodness for that. It's actually true goodness that we do have this capacity that we can move aside our own needs so that we can look after other people's needs, right? It's a really wonderful thing. The problem is, if we do it all the time, then we will become resentful. There is no doubt about it. We absolutely will become resentful. You know, the thing that's just what happens. And so that's why, you know, my dad says to me, like, if he ever notices that I'm getting, overwhelmed, he'll say to me, just got to get into your namaste, Dan. You've got to just get back to your deeper self, you know. And that's the thing. It's like, it's already there. Your deeper self, you know, in yoga words, we say highest self. Your true self, your highest self, you know, and I just bought this because I love this quote, and I just want to say it exactly. Without beginning or ending, your original wisdom has been shining forever like the sun. To know whether this is true, look inside your own mind. And so that's what meditation is. When we allow ourselves this time to kind of just like literally transcend, to not have to be the, like, thinking that we're the one who has to do all the bearing, because that's an illusion. We're actually not, right? We as much as we may have the capacity to like make every, you know, like who here doesn't like making their home lovely? Like, who doesn't like giving flowers and stuff? Does anyone just say, oh, forget the flowers, chuck them out? You know, everyone like, well, we may have our particulars, we like more than other flowers, right? You know, everyone likes doing things to make the environment beautiful, don't you? Do you like that? Do you like it when your bed's all messy, or do you like it when your bed's all nice and neat? Okay, like we have this thing that we can, like, we like, you know, like the idea of the gatherer, you know, we can gather and have that, you know, that drawing together. We all have this capacity to be able to do that. It's just that we are more than that, and we need to realize that we're not really the only one who has to do all that. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's more like we're just part of it. And so when we're talking about the thing about like how when we do say, okay, I'm going to class, you know, like I remember when I would, you know, get up early and meditate, my kids would always wake up as well, of course, because, you know, maybe because I slept in my bed, could be why. Anyway, but they would just get, because I would just sit, you know, Xavier would come sit in my lap when he was little, you know, and that we can do, while we have the capacity to like catch the ball of all of their pains and all of their sufferings and to hold it all for them, we also, right, we also can transcend, and we also can get in touch with our deeper self, which is not not the which has been shining forever, which is what we all have in common, which is why I think we all love to come to yoga together. You know, there's like, you know, Steph was saying on retreat how she loves how there's this feeling of the connection that can be unspoken. You don't even have to speak it, which is very profound, don't you reckon? You know, and I believe we have this yearning and that is our deepest self, is that connection. And so when basically when we like get ourselves into our namaste, is what David was saying, right? And when we get ourselves into the practices that we know that we need to do for ourselves, like there is, because am I saying it enough times? There is nothing wrong with making sure you are looking after yourself. I read this thing that said, I'm just going to just totally forget about my own health, totally like, put myself completely last and look after everyone until I get sick, or something like that. And I thought, I wonder how many people I know that do that. Like me, right? Because sometimes we've been conditioned that that's the thing to do. We also potentially have been conditioned to move away from when we're feeling things that are difficult and things that are painful. And this teaching in yoga is to let's practice not being so averse to pain, to actually be able to move into where we're finding it as a challenge. And that all the little voices that can come up at that point, like, oh my God, what if they don't like it? Or what if it's not good enough? Or what if I'm too much for everyone? Or what if, no, right? Right? That's like, that whenever, like what I say to myself is, oh, so that's really how other people feel too, right? And so the practices that help with that for you, right? And that's what I'm talking about when we talk about, you know, our connection to our own deepest self, which while it is ours, you know, you have your unique expression of that. So you'll know what are the, you know, for some people, right, it's doing some sun salutations. For some people, it's sitting in meditation. For some people, it's going for a walk on the beach. For some people, it's going for a walk on the beach, doing some sun salutations and sitting in meditation for an hour, right? And so you'll know. And actually, what I found is that it changes. It can change from day to day. But actually trusting that not only is it good for you to do that, it's actually good for everybody else for you to do that. Because otherwise, what sometimes we do by bearing too much is that we... And how do you know if you're bearing too much? Is if you're starting to feel pain, okay? Well, that's not true, actually. What I mean is if you're starting to feel suffering. If you're starting to feel that suffering, like that sort of overwhelming thing, right? If you start to feel like there isn't a way out, or you're starting to feel like, oh my God, you know, what can I do to fix this kind of thing, you know? But especially when it's to do with someone else, that's not giving them the ability to respond in their own lives, for their own lives. We're actually kind of trying to take some of their life from them by doing that. You see? So actually, if that's what I'm trying to get at, is that when we can, like, in a way, like, be able to respond for our own self, okay, that actually helps those around us as well. So, partly the mothers in the room, you know, I'm partly mostly talking to you at the moment because because many of us mothers, right, we can feel like, oh, we've got to, like, make it all right for them, you know, but actually we're developing resilience by being in our deepest self. So if we're like always like doing it for them, then they're not going to be able to develop in resilience. Do you see what I mean? And how do we develop resilience? Do we develop resilience because everything's always easy and everything's always done for us? No. That's actually how we shrink. You know, that's actually how we become like actually pretty shitty, really, right? And so knowing what is, and the thing is when I'm saying knowing, the knowing isn't necessarily in words, because the whole concept of transcendence is going beyond words. It's going into the no thing. So what I'm really trying to say is give yourself some time every day, right? And although I said that was mostly for mothers, that's not just for mothers. Okay, but the reason why I'm saying it to you with mothers is because we've all got a mother, and it depends, like, because maybe it wasn't your mother, maybe it was your auntie, maybe it was some, you know, your father, maybe it was your, you know, grandparent or something. You know, somebody, okay, seems like magnet. Maybe there was someone who said to you that you should do it a certain way. Do you get that? And what I'm, and how much did you, how much do you think that helped you or not? Like, it depends. Like, you find, you'll know if it helped you, if it was good advice or not good advice. You see, and what I've found is that often that the good advice that I've received is to be yourself and to be free and to, you know, to be wholehearted. And the bad advice has been, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea, you know, do you think that you can make money out of that? Right? Do you see the difference? So that the voice of doubt is usually not good advice, is my suggestion. But that's just my own experience. You know, the voice of judgment, I think, is generally not good advice. Because usually people who are being judgmental, have you ever noticed this? That often people who are being judgmental in your life, I mean, hopefully you don't have anyone, but do you? Have you? Right? I mean, obviously I hope you don't, but if you ever have had someone anywhere in your life, and it might not be now, but the thing is, the voice can still be there, even if it was a long time ago. Talk to my psychologist, my friend Jake, she'll tell you, right? Child self, right? So that voice that you may have heard could still be there, and that is potentially diminishing us. Like, it's kind of, that when you think of that person, right, and I'm not trying to be judgmental of that person, because actually often that person may have really meant well, and they're just coming from what they've learned. And so I'm not saying anything about a particular person, right? But what I'm just saying is, have they, like, say for example, like, say for me, like, as a yoga teacher, I'll just give you my own example. Say as a yoga teacher, if someone's giving me advice about yoga who's not a yoga teacher, do you think that's going to be necessarily help? Like, so yeah, I can see your face. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. It's kind of like my friend who's a doctor. How much do you like it when people come in and tell you what Google said? Right? You know? Right? It's like, you know, like, it's, you, whereas if there was someone in your field that you really, really admired and that you thought that they were so exceptional, you probably would listen, wouldn't you? And tell me also, but also, are they judgmental? Probably not. Do you get what I'm saying? The difference between discernment and judgmental, there's quite a difference, isn't there? Right? So I guess what I'm saying is, sometimes we're the voice of judgment in us. Sometimes we're judgmental of ourselves. Or maybe you're not. But I know lots of you. You are. I am, right? Right? Lots of us are judgmental. And that's the voice I'm saying to you. Tell it to shut the fuck up. I'm serious. You know, like, you're in charge. Like, this is your vessel, right? And have that sovereignty over your own soul like that. And let yourself go into that space that's beyond words, that's shining forever like the sun. Right? Forever like the sun. And that's why we have the Gayatri Mantra, you know, that's like to actually invoke that radiance. It's ever present, to let it be revealed to you, that exists for you. So shall we chant it together? It's a very long mantra for those of you who haven't chanted it. Don't worry about how it sounds, because that's all the judgmental voice again. So shall we do it as, I'll say a little bit and you do it like that. Just so, yeah, it's easy that way. So let's just close your eyes. This is an idea of, like, first of all, you might be at that point where you're kind of like, oh, the sun's there. But soon we're going to actually feel it. We're going to feel this light. It's forever shining. Because that's the idea, you know, with your soul. Like, you know, contemplate the idea of soul, your soul. You know, if you maybe you could think of it as like your essence. When did it start? Not rationally, when did you experience it? So don't say, oh, when I was born. Because can you remember when you were born? Because I don't know about that. Right? So it's beyond, it's before you can remember. So your experience of it sort of doesn't have a beginning or a, who knows, the ending. So you can bring your palms together at the center of your chest in Anjali Mudra if you'd like to. This mudra that's kind of, you know, recognized in so many traditions as a position of prayer. You know, this idea of, you know, like a petition, like an invocation. And sometimes it's translated as, you know, like an angel. So you could think of that as sort of like your angelic quality of pure being shining forever like the sun. Actually being in touch with what matters most to you. What you want to tend inwardly to. And so that, you know, when we really set our intention every day, then what we're doing every day can be a spiritual practice. Because then you can be inspired to be in the spirit of your life, connecting to what really matters to you, what's most important to you.